Why do so many people hate Calvinism? This guy has put in overtime debunking the myths of Protestant Reformed theology. Come on, man. In one video, he targets eternal security, claiming that zero church fathers believed the doctrine. Like, seriously, dude? What did it ever do to you? Seriously, though, you've got to see this because I will destroy his argument in less time than it took me to tell you about it by showing you what the fathers actually said. Let's go. When YouTube first recommended this video, I thought to myself, wait, what? Why would someone want to lose their salvation? For those of you who aren't Christian or don't read your Bibles, come on, guys. A person's salvation is their personal connection to God that assures them of their future home in heaven. Eternal security, or perseverance of the saints, teaches the biblical idea that this connection, if genuine, can never be lost. On the other hand, some say exactly the opposite, including this guy right here. And he fights for his claim by saying that the church fathers didn't believe in eternal security. Now, why would you say something like that? So what's the truth? Are Protestants and Reformed people on shaky ground with this issue? Here's what he says.
Some Protestants say they're recovering the doctrine of the early church, but there's one doctrine many of them believe in that makes me doubt they really want the faith of the early church. Ooh. Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist Trent Horn. And today I want to talk about the most unhistorical Protestant doctrine. So as I said, the motivation for today's episode are claims from Protestant apologists who say that they aren't introducing novel teachings into the church. They claim they're recovering the true faith of the church fathers. For example, Kenneth Collins and Jerry Walls write in their book, Roman But Not Catholic, quote, "If no significant theological changes had been made after the Council of Chalcedon in 451, some of which affected how the good news of the gospel was understood by both clergy and laity alike, then the Protestant theological traditions would never have likely emerged. The Reformation would not have happened, simply because there would have been little to reform," end quote. And Gavin Ortland recently put out a video that makes this claim.
Protestantism has a more realistic and compelling relation to church history. Cardinal Newman famously said, "To be deep in history is to cease to be a Protestant." And to be sure, many contemporary Protestants do have a shallow historical consciousness. But Protestantism as such was nothing other than an effort of historical retrieval. The magisterial reformers appealed to the church fathers just as much and sometimes more than they appealed to Scripture to oppose what they saw as the novel accretions and innovations of the medieval West.
John Calvin wrote the following in a 1539 letter to Cardinal Sadoleto. "You know, Sadoleto, not only that our agreement with antiquity is far closer than yours, but that all we have attempted has been to renew the ancient form of the church." If this is true, then we'd expect one popular doctrine among Protestants to be found among the church fathers, or really any prominent Christian before the Reformation in the 16th century. And that's the doctrine of eternal security, also known as perseverance of the saints or assurance. Basically, it's the view that a true Christian cannot lose his salvation. The Synod of Dort said that true believers, those who've been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, will still sin, but God preserves them in the incorruptible seed of regeneration from perishing or being totally lost. Edwin Palmer summarizes the doctrine this way. "The person who sincerely puts his trust in Christ as his Savior is safe in the arms of Jesus. He is secure. No one can hurt him. He will go to heaven, and this is for eternity. He is secure for all time, not just for a little while. He is eternally secure." Now, the Council of Trent, in the 16th century, spoke of that great gift of perseverance given to those who are destined to spend eternity with God. Catholics and Protestants agree that anyone who goes to heaven does so because they've cooperated with God's grace, and that grace has preserved them from being lost. That's why the Catechism says the saints have always had a lively awareness that their merits were pure grace. So while it's true, indeed trivially so, that all Christians who are predestined to heaven will go to heaven, it is not true that every Christian is predestined to eternal life with God in heaven. That's because God may, through his grace, lead some people to initial salvation where they become regenerate, they become true Christians, but God then allows them to fall away and remain unrepentant until death, which would result in damnation. Now, disclaimer alert, not all Protestants believe in eternal security. Lutherans, for example, follow Martin Luther's view that salvation by faith alone can be lost if a person abandons the faith. Methodists and other Protestants likewise reject eternal security. But many other Protestants accept this doctrine.
So when I first saw this video, I was like, what the heck, man? I mean, this just wasn't my experience at all when I read the Fathers. In my experience, the Fathers, at least the writings we have, read pretty much the same way the Bible does. And to that point, the Bible doesn't have a verse that says, you cannot lose your salvation, at least not in those words. So how do we make a determination on things like this? Well, we make inferences based on what we believe the Bible is saying. At best, our judgments represent illuminated, lock-solid truths. At worst, our teachings are the flawed and misguided, maybe even manipulated, lies that we want to believe about God, the world, and our own nature. So where do these two teachings fall on this spectrum? Eternal security, non-eternal security. Certainly, it isn't a salvation issue, get my pun there, but it is an important one that can impact the way we view our everyday walk with Jesus. So we should prayerfully think about stuff like this. To be fair, Reformed theology is not just eternal security. In fact, we don't even call it that. The P in TULIP stands for Perseverance of the Saints, and carries a bit of a different connotation. In classical Calvinism, perseverance of the saints is just the logical conclusion of a salvation that was started by God. You know what I mean by that, right? Since we're totally depraved, God unconditionally chooses us and then irresistibly draws us to receive his amazing salvation. You mean he didn't even ask us first? Hold up there, buddy. Who are you to judge God? No. This issue is clearer than you think in both the Bible and the Church Fathers. And as far as the latter, here are some places I think you see it. Clement, who was a contemporary of the apostles and possibly mentioned in Paul's letter to the Romans, said this in 1 Clement 40, verse 4. For those who follow the instructions of the master cannot go wrong. In my opinion, Clement seems to be suggesting here that those who know Jesus and live a lifestyle of obedience to him, which is what all those who know Jesus do, cannot fall off the path, thus losing their salvation. In chapter 45, when talking about previous examples who suffered incredible persecution, he says this, despite suffering these things, they endured or persevered nobly, and you will too with the help of God's power. He goes on in the next chapter to call these people the elect or chosen of God. Now, I know that on this point, many disagree, and they will say that there are the elect who are chosen for salvation and chosen for heaven, and that there are those who are chosen just for salvation for a little bit? Come on, Horn. But do we actually see this in the text? That distinction, dear friend, seems to be absent in my estimation. Ignatius, you know, the one Protestants fear, he was a second-generation Christian, a contemporary of Polycarp, who himself was discipled by the Apostle John. And he had this to say, those who belong to the flesh cannot do spiritual things, nor can those who are spiritual do fleshly things. Thus, living a lifestyle by which they could lose their salvation. And later on in chapter 14, he has this to say, no one professing faith sins, nor does anyone professing love hate. The tree is known by its fruit. Thus, those who profess to be Christ's will be recognized by their actions. For the work is a matter not of what one promises now, but of persevering to the end in the power of faith. Sounds like a Calvinist to me. And how about that Polycarp who said this in his letter to the Philippians? Therefore, let us hold steadfastly and unceasingly to our hope and the guarantee of our righteousness, who is Christ Jesus. Why does Polycarp use the word guarantee when we don't know that it's guaranteed? That's because it is And we know that it is. Okay, okay. To be fair, we do see these same authors say things like this. For if we have orders that we should make it our business to tear men away from idols and to instruct them, how much more wrong is it that a soul that already knows God should perish? If we please him in this present world, we will receive the world to come as well. Inasmuch as he promised that he will raise us from the dead, and that if we prove to be citizens worthy of him, we will also reign with him. If, that is, we continue to believe. Or this statement from the Epistle of Barnabas. So, brothers and sisters, we ought to give very careful attention to our salvation, lest the evil one should cause some error to slip in our midst and thereby hurl us away from our life. Ah, yes. It would seem as though some of these authors actually did think that we could have salvation, be truly saved, have faith, and yet one day lose it. But that's not what true Calvinism teaches, and I don't think that's what these authors really meant either. And I say that because I just showed you another set of quotes that completely contradict this idea. So what did these men mean? And is it really possible for someone to lose their own nature? Because that's what salvation really is. It is nature. It's based on and flows out of who you are in Christ. For example, you have this quote from Barnabas, which seems to reflect a classically Calvinistic understanding of salvation. Furthermore, with respect to the ears, he describes how he circumcised our heart. The Lord says in the prophet, as soon as they obeyed me. In short, he circumcised our ears in order that when we heard the word, we might believe. This is the classical Calvinist idea of regeneration precedes faith, or regeneration precedes justification. It's this idea that we cry out in faith because God has first given us a new heart. This idea not only comes from the Bible, but it's also found in the fathers. And I think this idea flows from it, that if we have a new nature, we will persevere to the end. What perseverance of the saints, or eternal security, really means is that we will persevere. It has a high view of salvation, a strong soteriology, and a successful Holy Spirit who will complete the work that he sets out to do in you. Yes, there are a handful of places in the fathers and in the scriptures where it would seem at a cursory glance that we can lose our salvation. But I think when you really dig deep into it, a better way to understand these passages, places like where Jesus says we will be broken off if we don't abide in him, that what they're really talking about is that those who aren't true believers will be revealed. And if those still walk in hardness of heart, which you have to do apart from the new nature, you will be broken off. That's why we see both the fathers and the writers of scripture saying, a tree is known by its fruit. You see, the true child of God is revealed by what they do and who they are. It comes out of the new nature that we have in Jesus. Yet practically speaking, anyone who is spoken to and treated as a full-fledged member of the kingdom, even if they haven't been baptized in their heart. And so we speak to the whole loaf, both true and false believers, with the admonition to persevere to the end. That's why Moses understood and hurled the two tablets from his hands, and their covenant was shattered, in order that the covenant of the beloved Jesus would be sealed in our heart in hope inspired by faith in him. So I might ask you now, are we sealed or not? Because sealed means a done deal. The scriptures say that the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing the things to come. So is it a guarantee or isn't it? And Polycarp seems to have the words of Paul in mind here when he's talking about the judgment seat of Christ that we must all stand before. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and each one must account for his own actions. Let us be eager with regard to what is good, and let us avoid those who tempt others to sin. And false brothers, and those who bear the name of the Lord hypocritically, who lead foolish people astray. When Paul is talking about this judgment, he explains that there are believers who are not building on the foundation of Jesus, and they will be saved, but as through fire. They will be saved through the flames, but they will be saved. So maybe a better explanation for things like this, when we come across them, isn't this wooden literal sense of a person losing their salvation, because, quite frankly, it isn't spelled out like that. I just think a better way to understand these kinds of statements and scriptures is by seeing them as statements, genuine statements, to encourage God's true children, strongly encourage them to persevere under pain of death, because that's what all these guys went through. If you study the lives of the apostles and prophets and church fathers, what you find is that they were all persecuted and died for the faith. They knew what was going to be required of them. When you read Ignatius or Polycarp, you see that these men knew they were on their way to martyrdom, and they wanted to die for Jesus. This was the expectation. This is why John wrote in his Revelation, "The one who overcomes will inherit all of this." But it's also why John wrote in his first epistle, "Everyone born of God overcomes the world." Sounds like perseverance to me. And that's how I know that you will persevere, and why your salvation is secure eternally. He who began a good work in you will see it through, will see it through to completion. You can take that to the bank. You can't lose by works what was gained by faith. And the new life that God has given you on the inside can never be extinguished. Those are your words of encouragement today from Pastor AJ. And hey, friends, if you haven't done so already, what are you waiting for? Subscribe. You can also like and share this video, and go to PastorAJ.com, where you can buy my latest book, End Times Mission, A Postmillennial Eschatology, and sign up for my weekly email newsletter. May God richly bless you and your family, friend. I will see you in the next video, because I know God's got your heavenly home on the lockdown. Peace.